It's OMF on EEI.
As a whole, your opinion of Tuukka's performance tonight, overall and also specifically second period?
Well, listen, it wasn't good enough to win, but neither were we. So this isn't on Tuukka. Kevin, you lose Millers and the Carlos, guys that play minutes for you, and other D come in. That other people in the lineup have to pick them up. They have to do their job, whether it's the forward scoring more goals or the goalie keeping the puck out of the net better, or we defend better. And it's a mix of all those things. Of course, he could have been better. This is a team loss. Certainly could have used some, you know, more scoring out of certain people in his series. You know, you can do the math on that.
I could have coached better. Don't hear that. You don't hear that anyway, do you?
I'll say this about him, because we compliment him all the time, that he is not shy about calling out players on his team when they don't perform well, including guys on that first line. And we know it's the best first line in the National Hockey League. They are so hesitant, he is, specifically, about saying anything critical about Tuukka.
Well, why is that?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because if he's going to criticize himself for playing him.
Maybe.
So, I mean, you know, obviously it's been, you know, a controversial decision, I guess, with some, to start this guy in Game 6. Maybe in hindsight, you look back and say, shouldn't have started in Game 5. But if Tuukka, if he says, yeah, he just wasn't sharp tonight, what he's saying is, I probably shouldn't have played him. That's my mistake. And you're starting to pick up on it. Like, this guy ever blame himself? Like, you know what I mean? It's even in that clip, you know, when you lose Carlo, when you lose Millers, a lot of excuses from Bruce Cassidy. You know, there really is, whether it's the referees or, you know, two defensemen down, somebody else has got to pick them up. Our forward's got to score more goals, something. You know, a goalie pick up a big save, like someone's, you know, I'm just sitting here, but, you know, none of these guys are doing anything. You know, they're not doing their jobs. And it's just like, is there ever, because, you know, the system, or, you know, we should have done this better or came up with a better idea of getting the puck out of the zone. Or,
yeah, how about that?
Or just whatever. I should have moved some lines around differently. I mean, you saw when Barry Trotz played at the Garden in Game 5, he moved his lines around.
No question.
He altered his lines to try to get Pageau out there more against
Absolutely.
Bergeron. And then all of a sudden, back at Nassau, back in New York, he went back to the home lines because he could dictate the matchups. So he changed some things in that third, fourth, whatever it was, to try to fix his matchups, because he knew he was on the road and they got last change, and how do I do this? How do I do that? Bruce? I don't know. The refs again. Blame this line. Blame this guy. Blame that. But don't blame the goalie, because you know why? Because if you blame the goalie, that's his decision.
And maybe he's feeling some pressure right now. So for Don Sweeney, Sweeney went out and got Hall. He got Riley. He got Lazar. And a lot of people, you know, were praising him. Well, in retrospect, Hall, the last few games, was invisible out there. Riley had some issues, and we know Lazar was out. I mean, I'm wondering if he's not looking at it saying, they went and made the moves that had to be made, and now they're putting it all on me.
But maybe. I don't know. But, I mean, here's the thing. Bruce doesn't have to come out and talk about the Carlo Miller injury. We're all saying it for him. You know what I mean? And as far as, like, the heat's on, it wasn't like Don Sweeney gave him an unbelievable third line, fourth line. I mean, they're moving left and right, moving guys out. Their fourth line, the Boston Bruins' fourth line is usually what the Islanders' fourth line is like. You know, they get
physical.
Out there, they get after it.
Yep.
They're physical, whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? They change momentum. They do all these little things. That's the fourth line. And they weren't bad. They weren't bad at all, actually, in this game. I mean, comparable to others. But it's just, no. I mean, so we could look at it and say, don't worry about it. As far as Bruce, we got you back. The roster, the injuries, we get it. We don't like the calls either. It's just that it's sometimes as the coach, you can't dive into that either. You let the fans talk about that. But every once in a while, put a little something on yourself. You did. You got outcoached.
Yeah. He didn't compliment the officials last night because they gave him a couple breaks last night. He didn't compliment them. Here's Phil in Maine to talk about the Bruins season coming to an abrupt halt. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks for taking the call. This was a team loss. Yes, we had injuries to some key defensive guys. There's no doubt. You know, flat out, we weren't tough. This last game especially, we didn't have the same strength they had. We couldn't even clear the puck half the time, especially at the end of the third period when we tried to switch Rask out. We couldn't even get the puck out of our end. And, you know, I'm sorry. You went into this game, everybody was waiting for 2 days to find out what the deal with Rask was. Oh, well, he's got a clean bill of health, supposedly, or he's fine, he feels fine, he's healthy 100%, he's our guy. Cassidy, that's on you. That is your fault 100% because you should have done your due diligence. Instead, you have this young guy that we have that I believe is going to be really good, and I think probably may have been able to actually sway the momentum. I think we might have been able to steal that game.
Yeah, maybe, and you put a different goaltender in there with a different style. Sometimes you catch the other team, the other skaters, off guard. I think that's a possibility. But when you talk about tough, are you talking? I'm wondering whether he was talking tough physically or mentally, because this team is not built to be physically tough. I mean, we know that a couple of years ago they got beat a St. Louis Blues team that was far more physical than them and a lot bigger than them. This Islander team might not be bigger, but they're far more physical than the Bruins.
I just want to hear everybody that played bad again from Bruce Cassidy, all the things that went wrong. I want to see, because as we pointed out, if you blame the goaltender, you're basically blaming yourself for playing him, right? Does he ever say that Tuukka had a couple of saves he should have made?
Listen, it wasn't good enough to win, but neither were we. So this isn't on Tuukka. Kevin, you lose Millers and the Carlos, guys that play minutes for you and other D come in. Other people in the lineup have to pick them up. They have to do their job, whether it's the forward scoring more goals or the goalie keeping the puck out of the net better or we defend better.
He did say about goalie keeping the puck out of the net. I was wondering if he's going to blame everybody but the goalie,
people
knowing
needed
that
to score
if you
more,
blame the goalie. It's blaming yourself for playing the guy.
Listen, you're playing on the road. It's game six. Everybody knows they're closing down the Nassau Coliseum, so that crowd may be looking at it thinking it's the last game they're going to be in that building. And you've got to figure that your goaltender, I hate to say it, Christian, is going to have to stand on his head.
He is going to have to be exceptional. That.
And if he's not 100% healthy, he can't stand on his head. He can't. Should have been playing.
Okay, that's fine. It's fine. I think I'm almost over... The Tuukka situation, I'm more focused on Cassidy and his inability to sit there and blame himself, like 100%. So I can understand, like, even if you have a receiver that goes out there and drops every pass, or a kicker that misses every extra point, like, most coaches won't sit there and say, you know, we have a veteran out there. He usually makes all these kicks. It's like Grizzly. He doesn't say Grizzly's name, but he passive aggressively calls Grizzly out. Because he wants, it's like he can't hold it in. He has to be mad at somebody. He has to let him know that he's pissed. Like, you turned the damn puck over. You couldn't clear the puck. I mean, you're the reason. So, to me, that guy is bugging the crap out of me.
Well, I'm just saying, like, even early in the series, it wasn't like, you know, I got to find ways to get, you know, Berge out there and that line out there and better matchups. Nothing. You know, even on the road, I know they get last change, but still there's some better opportunities. Yeah. I get this line out there a little bit better, or maybe mix this line up, or, you know.
He didn't do any of that.
No,
he never did it in the series. He never did. And again, we talked about this yesterday with Tuukka, Christian. He didn't have to be good in that game last night. He had to be brilliant. He had to be great. And it's unfair to him because I don't think physically he was capable of being great last night. And that's what you needed. You needed a great performance from the goaltender everything at stake.
Okay, before you go to the next call, just real quickly. Okay, you know, when Michael Jordan, you know, had the flu, or when Brady had the sniffles, or when any of us were, like, somewhat not 100%, like, to me, like, you should still play. Like, but it's on you to ignore the pain and the situations and the way you're supposed to be playing, because it's almost a get-out-of-jail-free card. Hey, I have a built-in excuse. I'm sick. My back hurts. My knee's bugging me. I mean, all that stuff. No, I mean, so this is going. This goes into their overall perception and legacy of Tuukka Rask. When you were hurt, when you weren't at your best,
shouldn't have been his call.
You weren't very good,
and maybe it was his call. Maybe he was the one that was pushing for it, because in the past, he has had the flu and not shown up for the game, or had an injury and unable to play. We've seen this in the past, and that's why he gets such bad treatment from the fan base. They don't trust him. But in this case, it was Bruce Cassidy who should have held him out. He should have made the decision. It was his call. Here's Jim in the car next up here on OMF. Hi, Jim.
Big O, Sensabella here. How are you, brother?
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hey, listen, guys, you know, a couple of things. Remember last night, the third period, if you remember correctly, we didn't have a whistle for quite a long time. The Bruins had two shots from the start of the third period till about 2.5 minutes left.
Yep.
Right there. Why the Lions learned, and Lou, you make a great point. Out coach wasn't even, not even skin in the top of this, okay? Barry Trotz was moving and grooving behind that bench the last three games. And I'll tell you one thing about Tuca. I called it out on a podcast 2 weeks ago. You watch him go down on his knees, glove side, every time. You watch the three goals in game five. Mm-hmm. They waited, at one point, waited to wrist shot it over him. Okay, he goes down too early. Whether it's an injury or not, that guy should not have been playing last night at all, period. Tuukka Rask in elimination games, fellas, 3-7 with a 4.5 goals against average.
Saying that's okay? Not good? So, is that what you're saying?
It's not good, Glenn. And look at it from another point. What is the whole holier than now, Cassidy? He's bitching about the refs three nights ago. Okay? He comes back with the, we're going to play, he's our guy. Now, last I checked, if you have goalies any type, to your point, Glenn, you want him to stand on his head because you need him? And you start a guy who's maybe 75%? Sorry. I don't understand where the coaching decision was there and why somebody else didn't get in his ear and say, hey, look, try the kid. What do you got That's to lose right. at that
yeah.
point?
No, because right.
if, the goal, if that breakaway, by Nelson, I think it was Brock Nelson, if I remember
yeah.
correctly.
Watch yeah. how, see how quick okay. he slides
the
to his right.
Is, right. If he stops that, all of a sudden the Bruins go, hey, we got a guy in our net here. Let's double it up. Let's bring the forwards down low. Let's pack it in a little bit and see how this goes and wait for a break. But they don't even allow that to happen. Why'd you pull him in game five? What was the point at that point?
Yeah, maintenance.
Okay. I have no idea. The maintenance thing made no sense unless you were conceding the game and you didn't want to
You're
tell.
Right.
You didn't want to tell us you were conceding the game and you were going to go for the kid and then we just rest him for the next game. But Cassidy said it. He said he was good enough to play. Okay, he was good enough to play. Was he good enough to play in an elimination game on the road where you literally needed him to have the greatest game of his career? That's what you really needed from him last night. And
what are gonna happen?
That's why it was unfair. It was totally, totally unfair. I'll wait until after the break because you sent the Spaz out on a little
listen,
assignment. I want to do that.
Let's keep doing this. We could pay. I know Spaz, you know. How much money did you spend, Spaz, when you actually bought stuff?
I spent like $30.
Oh, okay.
Did you put in for it yet?
Yeah, you gotta get reimbursed.
You know, I'm not gonna get that back. If someone's listening, maybe they could get me a gift card to one of these places, and I'll use that instead.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
Okay. You know,
Taco Bell only used after midnight. We'll see if we can get one for you. Here's Matt in West Roxbury. Matt.
Hey, how we doing, gentlemen?
Good, Matt.
Hey, first of all, I want to apologize for my phone the other day. It quit on me on 93.
Oh, all right.
You know,
all right.
I called you guys, and I predicted a 6-2 loss for
sure
the
Bruins. Sure you did.
And,
sure you did.
I also
yeah, that
say, hey,
phone
Lou,
broke down,
Lou,
Matt. Yeah.
You are exactly right, Lou. This is a coach who has no balls to stand up there and take the heat for himself being out coached. He wants to blame everybody else because he's the Bruins coach, and he can't make a decision for himself. That's why he let Tuukka talk him into playing last night.
Well, you know,
I
don't think he takes any accountability. I don't know, no balls. I think Cassie's got balls. I don't know what. Just know he doesn't want to take the blame for it. It's okay. I mean, you know, the greatest coach of all time does it, in, you know, in our city all the time. Now, whether you believe him or not, sometimes I think he just uses it as an out to not talk. But still, it's okay to come out and say it. But he can't. He can't be critical of Tuukka because he knows it was his call. Just going back again, looking at that one, the breakaway goal from Nelson. You go watch, like, he's got Clifton kind of coming up on Nelson's left. So it's almost like if he goes left, you know, like Clifton's there to defend it. He slides to his right, Tuukka's right. So he slides so quickly to his right and leaves like that whole side of that net wide open for him to come back.
Well, not only was he back deep in the net, but he kept on going down low consistently. Who had the slap shot that hit the bar? That should have been a goal. I mean, that was really close. That was in the third period, right? And he wasn't even close
Listen, if
to it.
If Tuukka was in net for the Islanders on the Bruins' first goal, I would not blame him. Because that was the most insane thing I've seen.
Right.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, because everybody knows Tuukka, I mean, Pasta takes that shot from the circle. And it was like slap pass, tape to tape.
It was beautiful.
To Marchand, who just collected and unloaded.
Goalie commits to the other side.
No chance.
Wide open net.
No chance.
Yep.
Like, Pasta's been taking that slap shot all day. I don't blame Varlamov at all of sliding over there as quickly. Nobody could have stopped that one.
Right.
But I just think the other ones... Yeah, I think you can look at it and say, I expect him to make one of them.
But notice they were going high on Tuukka constantly throughout the entire series.
That's Caller was right, over his shoulders, left and right.
It's like they knew it.
And they wait for him to fall because they know he goes down.
So like every other sport, they're analyzing, they're looking at video, and they're saying, hey, he's going down low, he's crouching down low. And maybe that has something to do again, Christian, with the back problem. I've seen you, you know, go a lot lower in your seat here.
He's always crouching low.
On the show, crouching down. This hour brought to you by, oh, no, this is trending. I apologize for that. We'll save.
I tell you what, Spaz is screwing you up.
He is. That wasn't Spaz's fault. Spaz, you're doing a hell of a job.
Doing great.
Got to find out how you were going through the fast food lines. That'll come up next. It is time for our little contest where we're giving away
money. Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
All right, this hour's code word is run. It's exactly what Christian does at 5:55 on Friday. Okay? He runs. Okay? That's this hour's code word, run. Text RUN to 72881 right now for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. A message and data rates apply. Don't text and drive.
The exclusive home of Red Sox baseball. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, now let me tell you about 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Jeep Freedom Days. You could save up to $7,000. That's right, $7,000 on all new Jeep SUVs and Ram trucks.
Here's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com. The Bruins are Dunsky.
Oh, God.
Wow. Isn't that what you guys say? They're Dunsky?
It's a hockey term. Yeah.
They're Dunsky.
You're right. You're doing good.
Did you write this thing?
I wrote this. Okay, I added it because you guys say it. I want to sound like you guys. I'm assimilating into the program. They're Dunsky. They lost 6-2 to the Islanders last night. Pat's quarterback, Cam Newton, is going to miss practice or miss practice. I have no idea when practice is today, but he's not practicing because he has a hand problem.
It already happened.
Oh, it already happened, so he missed.
Practice is over now.
He missed practice. Right. We'll find out more on that later from somebody else who really cares. The Red Sox lost to the Astros last night, 8-3. Sox-Astros again tonight. Pre-game is at 6:10. First pitch is at 7:10. Right here on the Shaw's Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. That's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com. Nailed it, bro.
It was very good, Spaz. Weather in Boston, it is currently 67 degrees. It has cooled off greatly over the last couple days. Weather is brought to you by Dana-Farber Brigham and Women's Hospital. Receiving world-leading cancer care in a timely manner can make all the difference. Dana-Farber Brigham and Women's Cancer Center, everyone on your team specializes in your type of cancer, so you can be confident you're getting the right treatment right from the start. Schedule an appointment at youhaveus.org.
Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
There's not a stupid question. There's not a bad idea. And go.
Now back to OMF.
I thought our power play was good. He gave us some opportunities. The top line generated well. Some of the other, you know, people needed to score more if we're going to allow that many goals, right? So that's a bit of the formula of keep it out of your net, win 2-1. But if you're going to give up 3 and 4 goals, then you better be scoring 5. And we weren't able to do that.
Okay. Well, that was right out of your logic.
Yeah.
To beat them, you got to score more goals than them.
Yeah. I like that. There's only one problem. The Islanders are one of the lower scoring teams in the league.
Well, they were until they got to you and
so penalty, maybe
power play and everything else.
So maybe they shut down your number one line or contain them anyway, because the first line did have a couple spectacular goals, but the rest of the team was shut down because the Islanders are so good defensively.
Yeah, and you just mentioned, like, you know, even the first line, like the goals, like the goals that they had were unbelievable.
Yep. Oh, Marchand.
Like they were Marchand, Pastrnak. I mean, yeah, obviously he had the one boneheaded one, but they were just high level, once in a lifetime type stuff that you're seeing. Crazy angles, tough circumstances. I mean, it was just, it's like nothing was easy for him.
By the way, when you look at this overall run, and we talk about window of opportunity, because we spent a lot of time talking about it with the Celtics, and they had the 3 out of 4 years. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals or whatever, but they weren't considered a team that I think was going to win a championship. The Bruins, starting in 2011, when they did win the Stanley Cup championship, have had a window where they have been considered, at least I think here in Boston, as a team that is contending every year to win a Stanley Cup. And yet, there have been 3 of them during that period. They have won one. That was 2011. They failed the other 2 times against a better Chicago team. I think the Blackhawks were better. And the Blues just had a phenomenal run at that period of time. And maybe the Bruins were a better team, but not in that series. The rest of the time, it's first round knockout or second round knockout, or did not qualify a couple years for the playoffs. And is the run over? I mean, you're getting up there in age. You're Bergeron is, what, 35 now. Marchand is 33. Pasternak is still relatively young.
Wasn't last year kind of the beginning of it?
The beginning of the end or the beginning of...
With Chara leaving, you know, Krug wasn't as big, but whatever. Like, the point is that, you know, Krejci's, as far as, like, big, you know, off-season discussions, Rask will be one of them. Krejci will be one of them. You lost, you know, Chara last year.
But you could talk about the other teams in this town. We talk about the Patriots, obviously, and the unbelievable run and how deep they went. We could talk about the Red Sox. There are four championships here since 2004. We're looking at the Bruins. There was one in 2011.
Yeah, two other cups, though. You know, Chicago, St. Louis. The killer was Cassie's first year, right? They had like 100, I think the President's Trophy, right? They won 112 points. They ran into Tampa in the second round and got smoked. And last year's team. Like, last year's team was outstanding. Just, you know, the COVID thing happened. He went into the bubble, and then Tuca took off. So, I mean, yeah, that last year, he had a couple other opportunities. He had two cups. I don't know. I don't look at it as like a complete disaster. You did have a couple of cup appearances. You just didn't pull it out.
But you won one cup during that run.
I know.
And if you look at the Blackhawks, they won three. Before that, Pittsburgh, how many did they win? They won three. I mean, they should have won more.
You think you were good enough to win three? You think you were that type of franchise like Pittsburgh back in the day?
They were favored against St. Louis. Now, they were underdogs against Chicago, but they were the favorites
Louis. I think you've always had a very good team. I just don't think you've had the type of team you sat there and said, man, if you don't win, you know, two, three Stanley Cups during this span, it's a complete failure. I don't think they were ever that good. They were always good. They're a good team.
So during that 10-year run, they won the President's Cup twice.
Yeah.
So they had the best record overall in the league twice. I don't know. I think they should have won a little bit more. I'm looking at it here. Round two loss. Round one loss. Did not make the playoffs. Round two loss. There's a lot of that in there. Should have been better, I think.
If you had a team, a football team, that had the best quarterback of in the last 10 years, the best defensive player last 10 years, and, you know, whatever, best coach, and then one of, like, the best running back, call it. Like, you would sit there and go, why aren't we winning more? This is a Super Bowl contending team. Like, there is value to what you're saying. I hear you. Because any team that has, like, some of the toughest positions to find, and not only do you have them, Selke Award winners, all that stuff, winning all these individual awards, you're the best in the business.
Well, the Blackhawks, for an example, had two great players, and they had another defenseman who was damn good, and their goaltending was pretty good during that period. So that might have been a six-year period. During that six-year period, they won three cups.
Yeah, you can make a case.
I don't think you had that type of team either. I just don't. I would look more like, even like a team like Tampa. We'll see what they do this year. But the last 4 years, they've won a cup, but I think they've been a disappointment. If they get bounced.
Disappointment. They won the President's Cup, had a 3-0 lead in the first period against St. Louis.
I look at that team
again
the last 3 or 4 years saying, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They have clearly been the best team, you know, at times, right?
Yeah. And look like the best team.
Yeah, they might be. Yeah. They might. You know, if they win it this year, I don't know what's going to happen out west, you know, Vegas or whatever. But Colorado, I don't know. If they don't win it this year, that's more of a team that I would say is – probably a deeper, better team than you. That's more disappointing.
All right, let me go to Bill. Bill's in Ashburnham. Go ahead, Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Bill in Salem. Let's try that one.
Hello.
Hi.
You know what I just noticed? I just noticed when Spaz answers the phone, he puts down two cities. So Spaz, why do you put down two cities in these calls?
It has the last city that they had on the last time they called.
You got to get rid of that.
I have to get rid of that.
You got
to
get rid of that.
Listen, man, I'm dyslexic. Having me put up the call screen is ridiculous.
You know what? You're like Cassie right now. Stop blaming your dyslexia on everything.
Spaz asked me how to spell Albert.
I asked him how to spell Albert. I wasn't sure how to spell it.
Spell Albert.
Go ahead, Bill. You're up.
Hold on, Bill. Spell Albert.
Al. So you have the A-L. And then Bert, which is B-U-R-T.
No, that's good.
That's fine. That's good.
Albert.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill. It's your dime. Hey, Bill?
Hello?
Bill's
totally confused now. Bill, go ahead, buddy.
On, Bill.
Oh, my gosh.
Really? I can hear you,
somebody
Bill.
Else.
Go, please go,
seriously,
Bill.
And then go to somebody
Bill.
Else. Put Bill on hold and say, Bill, when you call, speak. When we say, hey, Bill, like, for example, right now, go to who are you going to go
I'm
to
I'm
going
to go to another Bill.
Okay,
this is Bill in
Bill
Malden.
Bill in Malden. Bill, it's time to speak. Go.
All right, how's it going, guys?
There
good.
You go.
All right, the point I haven't heard made all day is I think Tuca is a victim of his own history here. You know, he bagged out of the Olympics. He had to leave the bubble last year. He has somewhat of a reputation as a guy who has quit on his team in the past. So I think this injury might have been enough in a normal situation for him to say, look, coach, I can't go. And that's why I think Bruce Cassidy should have taken that into account, even if he did.
We have mentioned that. We mentioned this theory.
I think that's all anyone does mention when they talked about Tuukka yeah. Bill. Like you yeah. say, we haven't mentioned it. I think when we talk about Tuukka, it's all about his history. All of it.
My point is, because of his history, I think Tuukka would have played last night if his leg was hanging off of his history.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you. Yes.
We've said that, though, Bill, that what he's doing is he's afraid that he is fighting that, you know, what people think of him. And so he's fighting through to play because he doesn't want to be known as a quitter again. You're right.
I didn't hear that part of the show. Yeah. I apologize. But that's where Bruce Cassidy should have said, listen.
Exactly.
I can't take this guy somewhat at his word that he thinks he's okay, because he would do exactly what we were just talking about. That's when I think Cassidy should have said, listen, we got to put in the guy, whether he's like Lou's been saying all along, whether he's going to make the saves or not, I got to put a mobile guy in there that it can at least cover the net.
Yeah. So you guys think that Tuukka, out of fear of being having a worse perception that he already has, convinced Cassidy to play him even though he knew he wasn't capable of doing it?
Well, I feel like
that's what you're saying.
But Christian, I think he fought through it because...
So you're using
I trust Tuukka Rask. Tuukka, can you go? Yes, I can. I'm fine. And the reason why he said, yes, I can, I'm fine, is given he knows his history.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
And he knows he ain't bailing out of this game.
No, I feel like...
He can't take himself out of the game. The coach had to.
I know, but I feel like you guys are saying in the last caller, it's like he did it, he forced the issue even though he knew what the real answer was. Like, he basically, in a way, lied because he didn't want to deal with the criticism of bailing out again in an important game. So he forced the issue even though he knew he couldn't do it. That is what I'm hearing from you guys.
He might have known that he wasn't 100%, but he's looking at it saying, if I don't play in this game, I'm done in this town. Done forever.
So he basically lied.
Yes, he might have lied. But again, that comes back on the coach.
Held back some information.
It's the coach's responsibility.
Is there pain?
To be able to see through it. Mm.
Yes, technically yes.
All right.
You're telling me that he...
Sure, we got Pierre coming.
Two PR things.
You're telling me he couldn't tell last night on the bench, the coach, that in the first period that he didn't look right? Pierre McGuire, NBC Sports, our buddy from NBC Sports. He will join us coming up next.
Get social. Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
Bruins go down in 6 out on the island last night. We're here for the funeral with you as we move to the offseason for the Boston Bruins, and the Islanders move on to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Our buddy from NBC Sports, Pierre McGuire, joins us live on the Harbor One Hotline. Hello, Pierre.
Glenn, Lou, Christian, nice to visit with you, gentlemen.
It's always great talking to you.
See
you. Even though the hockey season has come to an abrupt halt here in Boston.
Earlier than we thought there, Pierre.
Did you get the feeling early on, because we certainly did, that they were in trouble, and by that second period, it was an avalanche. I mean, it was bad.
I thought they were in trouble after game 2, if you really want to know the truth. Going back to Long Island, I did the Pittsburgh Islander series in the first round, and the Penguins had a real tough time dealing with the five-man matchup on their top line. So Crosby, Gensel, and Russ, the top line for Pittsburgh, really didn't get a lot done 5-on-5 against that fivesome that starts with J.G. Pageau and Travis Zajac and Kyle Palmieri and Adam Pellick and Ryan Pulock. Those five guys are basically there to shut down three guys, and they did the same thing to Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak 5-on-5, and the problem is you got nothing out of Taylor Hall, you didn't get anything out of Craig Smith, and you got very little out of David Krejci, so you got a big problem.
You know, Pierre, it's funny you say that, the game 2, because I think a lot of people, well, we were just talking about how it kind of changed in game 3, even though they won that game, that Clutterbuck hit on Carlo just seemed to, you know, take the defensive core out. Losing a guy like Carlo just seemed to too big of a price to pay.
Well, I had a feeling that things were going to go a little bit different after game 2 is I saw how the Islanders changed their game plan just a little bit after game 1, and they got real aggressive, and they started going after the Bruins physically, and they started challenging their defensemen a lot more. And then, obviously, I didn't know that Clutterbuck would get a hard hit on Carlo like that, but it was a clean hit, it was a hard hit, and it was a devastating hit to the Bruins. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to Tuukka Rask, you know, lightning rod of discussion up here in Boston, do you think Cassidy made the right decision by playing him last night, and why?
You know, that's a good question, Christian. I don't know enough about what went on in their meetings. I don't know what the trainers told Bruce. I don't know what Tuca told the trainers. I don't know what the doctors had to say about Tuca. I thought there were games, you know, in the first round where he played fantastically well. If you think about it, against Washington, he lost game one, but the rest of that series, he was really good. You go back to game one of the Islander series, I thought he played well. Game two, I thought he was more than good. I know that Bruce thought that he had a tough time tracking the puck in one of the games. And again, I don't know what went on in their meetings, but the one thing I'd say is that's where you have to have a level of trust between the player, the trainers, and the doctors.
Do you think he looked good? I mean, I know he goes down and they're going over the shoulders, but there were moments I felt towards the end of game five when he did get pulled. He sat there and said, well, he just doesn't look like he's moving. He got caught out of the net a couple of times, didn't look comfortable. And I know there was a bunch of turnovers, Pierre, in this game, but I don't think he was healthy enough to give them the type of performance they needed to win the game.
And, Lou, that's why I said there's got to be a level of trust when you're dealing with those situations. You know, sometimes it's an injury. Sometimes it's just pain. You have to know the difference between pain and injury. And if a guy's really injured and it's affecting his ability to play, then you got a problem. If a guy's got pain and he can deal with it, I'll give you an example. I coached the player, Shel Samuelson, who played in the Stanley Cup final and had to get shot up every single time before. But the way they did the shooting up, they put the needle through his two middle knuckles all the way to his wrist. Yeah. And shot him up that way. And I can tell you, it wasn't very fun to watch. And he'd bring me into the training room because he'd squeeze my arm rather than bite down on a piece of wood. And I'm telling you, it wasn't fun to go through. So that's the difference. I mean, he could deal with that because the painkiller. But if you got hip problems, if you got, you know, back problems and they can't do anything for you, then I don't know if you're going to be 100% to play.
Boy, you talked about the Islanders. And I think you really appreciate when you see them play six games here, how good they are, because they don't necessarily, and they've got skilled players, don't get me wrong, but they're not highlighted by, you know, a great first line. They're just deep, four lines through, and they just seem to come at you constantly. Like last night, they knew the guy they had to get to was McAvoy, and they were all over him right from the get-go, Pierre.
No, that was pretty much from the start. I would agree with you, though. And Charlie, see, what people forget is Charlie in games two and three played almost 30 minutes. Yep. In both those games. I made mention of that last night. That's a lot of playoff. That's a lot of minutes in playoff hockey, and especially when you're going in a series, which is going every other day. That's a lot, and this is into the second round. So they knew that they could get after Charlie, and he was a key component for them. You know, he's coming off going into game six. He's coming off a three-assist game in game five. You know, he had a fantastic game five, and they weren't able to really get to him. But in their rink, and I've seen them, I saw them do this to Christopher Letang with Pittsburgh. I saw them do it to Brian Dumoulin with Pittsburgh. They're good at it. There's no question. But that's because they play a four-line game. Most fourth lines in the league, the guys play between 8 and 10 minutes. Their fourth line can play upwards of 14 or 15 minutes. That's a lot of extra time being body slamming on people, if you know what I mean, Glenn. Yeah. Now, that's a lot of extra time.
Yeah. Yeah, so when it comes to you know, my favorite line, Hall and Goats.
we give nicknames to everybody. You had all these nicknames here. You know, we felt like they needed one.
Yeah, it was funny.
Because
you know, that line was just getting so much attention, and I felt like I thought that line could be the difference maker, but you know, you look at Hall, like, scoreless in the final three games. I mean, you pointed to one of those, the line is one of the issues. They're just not doing enough. You know, where do you think they go with Hall moving forward?
Really good question, because I think it's going to come down to what does his agency expect for him on a dollar value, and what do they expect on term. I said it before the game last night when John Forslund threw it down to me. I said, if they don't get production from Hall and from Smith and from Krejci, they're not going to win this game. I don't care what anybody tells you, because I know they're going to shut down Marchand and Pasternak and Bergeron on 5-on-5. You know, that you can't always count on the power play, and obviously the Bruins got two great power play goals from Marchand, but 5-on-5, there was just not enough thrust. So those guys didn't deliver. I don't know what Taylor's going to want dollar-wise. I don't know what he's going to want term-wise, but I can tell you that that was underwhelming. That was really underwhelming. The one goal that he had in game one, that was into an empty net. I mean, when you really think about it, that was a very underwhelming performance.
So when you look at, we were just doing a lot of, I guess, analyzing Bruce Cassidy and what he says and how he says it. I don't know, Pierre. Like, we're big fans of Bruce Cassidy, but I feel like he doesn't take much accountability. I feel like he's either pointing the finger at his other players or passive aggressively kind of taking shots at guys instead of just saying, I need to coach better. I did a terrible job. I don't know what your feelings are on that, or maybe we're overanalyzing it.
Well, the one thing I'd say is, as much as they thought that the referees were against Boston, and I think probably a lot of the fan base in Boston feels that way, I can tell you right now, I have a home in Boston. I've lived in Boston. I spent a lot of time in Boston. My kid went to prep school in Boston. I like Boston. I the referees had nothing to do with the outcome of the series. Zero. And when Bruce went down that road, I said, he's either trying to deflect away from what's gone wrong in the series, or he's trying to deflect away from some injury situations and trying to do anything he can to elevate the team. That's where I thought there was a fundamental flaw with the communication with the media. I really did. I didn't think that was appropriate after game five going into game six. And, you know, maybe they got a couple tripping calls that they maybe wouldn't have gotten, but those were trips. Those were penalties against the Islanders. They should have been called, and they deserve to be called. They missed one, by the way. Pellick should have been called for a knee-on-knee on Taylor Hall in the first period, but they missed that one for whatever reason. But Bruce does his own way of dealing with the media. Every coach is different when it comes to dealing with the media. I guess that's what I'll say about that.
I think we kind of felt that, you know, there was so woe is me on these penalties, especially in game five, that I just always felt like that, you know, sometimes your team takes on the personality of your coach. So if your coach is bitching all the time, it's almost like there's this letdown, right? I mean, kill the penalty.
Yeah.
Kill the penalty. Three for three.
I'll give you a great example of what Lou just talked about, Glenn and Christian. In game five, when the Boston Bruins made a huge thrust and they got back to make it a 5-4 game in game five, Barry Trotz called a timeout, and I could hear what he was saying. And basically he says, we got to stop sitting back and we got to start getting after him and basically stop feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah.
Let's get out there and go. And those guys responded. If you go look at the tape of the last 2.5 to 3 minutes of that game, they were doing exactly what the coach wanted them to do. They weren't blaming anybody. They just said, we got to get back to attacking. And that's what they did.
Hey, Pierre, Brad Marchand, I thought, was outstanding in this series. And, I mean, there isn't a puck in a battle that he doesn't lose. I mean, it's amazing. I'm just curious, national level, where is he when it comes to, when you look around the league and you start looking at some of the elite players in this game?
Oh, I think he's in the top 15 in the league. And, I mean, he might even be in the top 12.
Yeah.
His consistency level is just phenomenal, Lou, number one. And number two, no, I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for his defensive awareness and his shorthanded play. He's one of the best shorthanded players in the league. And the chemistry he has, obviously, with Bergeron defensively is off the charts, not just offensively, defensively. I think he's one of the most well-rounded players in the league. I really mean that sincerely. And I'm a big fan. I know a lot of people on the national side don't like it because of some of the shenanigans that go on.
Yeah.
With his game, but I would tell you right now, if I was fortunate enough to have a team and was running one, I'd want that guy on my team. I'm telling you that right now.
Where do you think the Bruins go from here? We're accustomed to the Bruins being a real physical team, but they haven't been the last few years. St. Louis out-muscled them a couple years ago in the finals, and they got out-muscled here. Do they need to be more physical, or is it a matter of they've got to get deeper? You can't just have one line out there.
That's a fair point, Glenn. I think they need to get deeper up front. I think they also need to get much deeper on defense. I was doing the tail of the tape. You know, you don't have Brandon Carlo. You don't have Kevin Miller. You don't have John Moore. Zdeno Chara in Washington. Torrey Krugs in St. Louis. Just think about that. Those are all NHL defensemen. And outside of maybe Johnny Moore, who's a 5'6", and Kevin could be a 4, but he's a 5'6", all those other guys are top 4 guys. That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
I mean, so they need to get deeper, I think, on defense, and I'm sure Donnie knows that. And they probably need to really look at what they're going to do with their second center, whether David comes back or not. If David gives them the right, you know, number, then I think maybe he comes back. If he doesn't, then, you know, they're going to have to address that at some point at the second center position.
You know, not to get all sentimental, but mm-hmm. when you look at just the last 10, 11 years, do you think that this squad, this core, now it seems like they're all kind of leaving year by year. We'll see what happens with yeah. Krejci. But do you think that they should have won more?
2013 was heartbreaking. I'll never forget that, you know, when the Chicago Blackhawks in Game 6 scored bang, bang. That was amazing to me. So to go to two final in 3 years is pretty amazing. To win in 11 like they did on the road in Game 7 in Vancouver was huge. The final with St. Louis was an interesting one because a lot of people thought they would never win Game 6 in St. Louis, and they won that handily. And then everybody said, okay, they're going to be anointed Stanley Cup champions after Game 7 because they're going to dominate St. Louis in Game 7. The problem was Jordan Binnington didn't hear that headline. And the first 10 minutes, if you go watch the tape of Game 7, the first 10 minutes, that should have been 5-0 Boston. I'm telling you, Jordan Binnington stole a Stanley Cup from the Boston Bruins. He really did 2 years ago. So, no, I think the team has done magnificently well over the last decade, and a lot of people deserve a lot of credit. The amateur scouts, the pro scouts, Cam and his intensity, Donnie and some of his long-term and short-term planning, the coaching staffs that were there over time, and the core that you guys were just talking about. I think the core players, whether it's Patrice or whether it's Brad or, you know, whether it's obviously Krug was there for a long time, Chara was there for a long time. I mean, they had an amazing run. They really did.
No, they've had a great run. It's unfortunate because you look at it, you look at Chicago, and they had two great players, obviously, a terrific defenseman, pretty good goaltending, and they won three in, 6 years? And you can look at Pittsburgh winning three during that little run. And we're sitting here going, okay, it's been 10 years, and Bergeron is now 35 years of age, 33 for Marchand. And you're sitting here going, where do they go from here? And they've got one cup to show for. Three finals, but one cup, you know?
No, it's fair. It's fair, but it's hard to win. It's hard to win.
There's no question.
I've been fortunate enough to win it twice, and I can tell you, you win it once, and you're like, wow, this is amazing. But you're so much better the second time around because you actually know what you have to do to win. So until you've actually been through it, it's really hard to fathom how hard it is to win.
You know, Pierre, somebody just rubbing salt in the wound on Twitter last night actually threw up that 2015 draft when the Bruins had three consecutives with Saboro, DeBrusque, and Sinishin.
And
Barzal was next. And then Kyle Connor was right after him. And it was like...
Oh, I know. Well, you see, what you look at is Barzal, you look at Kyle Connor, you look at Thomas Chabot.
Yeah,
I mean, you look at Anthony Beauvillier, who was drafted
by
the
three guys right after you with three.
So, I mean, you know, I could tell you all the names. I remember clear as day, and I do the draw. I was doing the draft all the time, and I can tell you that was an interesting. Sinishin was an interesting pick, and Zboril was an interesting pick. And the reason why I say that is Chabot and Zboril were partners with St. John in the Quebec Major Junior League. So the Boston Bruins scouts saw both guys, and they thought Zboril would be better than Chabot. And Sinishin was a little off the charts from Sault Ste. Marie, and not as many people as the Bruins scouts.
Connor. That would have been nice if they took those three guys. They'd be in a different spot right now, I'd say.
Well, they would have switched sides last night's game. Before we let you go, Tampa Bay now taking on the Islanders. Yeah. Tampa Bay with all the skilled players and the tremendous offense. The Islanders good enough to do the same thing to them?
Yeah, they are. The thing that's going to be fun to watch in this one is the depth players for both teams are really good and they're really physical. And the Tampa Bay Lightning, the untold story about them is Yanni Gourde, Blake Coleman, Barkley Goodrow, Pat Maroon, these guys, Ross Colton, these guys are nasty pieces of business. Those are their depth players, and they're going to come after the Islanders, but the Islanders can handle that. I think the one thing that will be interesting in this series, how disciplined can the Islanders be? Because if they put Tampa on the power play, they're not going to win the series. I think it's going to come down to how disciplined will the Islanders be against Tampa. Because if they're not, they're not going to win the series.
Pierre, we always appreciate you coming
Thanks,
on.
Buddy.
Best of luck to the rest of this run, and I hope that TNT and ESPN is watching so that you're inside the glass next year. You're the best in the business inside the glass, and hopefully you'll be with one of those networks doing NHL hockey next year.
You guys were awesome to have me on. Thanks a lot. Really enjoyed being with you, and I look forward to getting to Boston at some point this summer when the playoffs are over.
Well, you got a house out here.
I do.
All right, Pierre.
All right, Pierre. Good luck the rest of the way. See you later.
Thanks a lot.
Pierre McGuire, NBC Sports, right here on OMF. This hour brought to you by Window World of Boston. Call 1-800-NEXT-WIN or online at windowworldofboston.com.